إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, as we mentioned before, Ramadan al-Kareem is the month which comes in order to train us to become muttaqoon, in order to train us to become people whose single point of reference, whose primary concern is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu alone and nobody else. To become such people, Ramadan al-Kareem comes as an intensive training program. As they say, it takes 21 days to bring about a change in habit. Ramadan comes with 29 or 30 days. So there is enough time, therefore, if somebody is sincerely interested in changing themselves and making themselves obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is enough time in order to bring about permanent habit change in their lives. Why must we do this? Because one day, whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And therefore, it is important to ensure that when we meet him in a state where he will be pleased with us. Now, for that, what is it that pleases Allah and what is it that does not please Allah? What is it that is halal? What is it that is haram? Why is it halal and why is it haram? Ramadan comes to teach us this lesson in a very graphic and very straightforward manner. In Ramadan, I'm sure we all know this, but I'm just highlighting it. In Ramadan, things which are normally halal, things which are normally halal become haram during a certain span of time of the day, from dawn to dusk, for no reason other than the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that they are haram during this period. So from the time of suhoor, when the time of suhoor ends, which means from the time of Salatul Fajr to the time of Salatul Maghrib, food, drink, and relations with our spouses, physical relation with the spouses, are prohibited, are haram. Now if you say why, there is only one way of answering that, which is to say because Allah said so. So if you ask Allah why, Allah is saying because I say so. Let me give you an example of this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited dealing with interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited lending money on interest or borrowing money on interest. And this is a prohibition which is across the board, which is boundaryless, on which there are no qualifiers. Allah did not make riba, Allah did not make dealing in interest halal in certain cases and haram in some cases, and so on and so forth. The prohibition is a blanket prohibition across the board. Now, despite that, when you look at the reason why, what did Allah say, why is it halal and why is it haram? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they say that riba is like bay'a. Al-bay'a'u misla riba. They said that bay'a is like riba, which means trade is like dealing in interest. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ahallallahu al-bay'a wa harrama riba. Allah has made bay'a trade halal and Allah has made riba haram. Now Allah did not say riba is haram because it destroys wealth, riba is haram because it creates a sector of population in society which preys on and which takes advantage of somebody else's misfortune, and so on and so forth. Allah did not give reasons. Allah said, it is halal because I say so. It is haram because I say so. Now, I think this is the fundamental principle that we have to understand. Now, this does not mean that the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is illogical. What it means is that the answer is completely and totally logical, but we may not always understand that logic because our understanding and our comprehension is not at the level of the understanding and comprehension and reason of the Creator. So in some cases, we may understand why Allah made certain things halal and certain things haram. In some other cases, we may not understand the reason, but we still obey because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. No other reason. No other reason is required. Because I say so. This is what Allah is saying. So therefore, in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reiterate and emphasize this point, that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is done for one reason only, and that reason is because Allah said so. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things which are normally halal, Allah made them haram. Why? Because I say so. And then, once that time is over, alhamdulillah, those halal things are halal. Now, what is the lesson we learn in terms of life change? The lesson we learn is that all through Ramadan, we obeyed the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and kept away even from halal because Allah ordered us to do so. So therefore, what must we do with regard to haram which Allah ordered us to stay away from throughout our lives? If we can stay away from even halal because Allah said so, then we must stay away from everything which Allah told us to stay away from. And that refers to everything which is haram throughout our lives. Whether it is eating haram or drinking haram or earning haram or spending haram or celebrating in ways which are haram or anything which is haram. We stay away from that because Allah said so. We need not get involved, and we do not get involved in any arguments and any debates with regard to the logical application of some order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our modern times and today's times, because as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, there is no modern time and previous time and olden time and so on and so forth. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time does not exist. And hukam of Allah and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transcends all boundaries of time and space. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said applies from the time He said it till the time itself ends. And that is the lesson that we are learning. To say that in Ramadan al-Kareem, this is how we practiced our faith. This is how we lived Islam. This is how we lived our lives. And alhamdulillah, as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah al-Musta'an, will grant us Jannah. Now therefore, in the rest of our lives, what must we do with what Allah has prohibited? My brothers and sisters, if you seriously look at it today, alhamdulillah, the majority of people, the majority of Muslims who are practicing Muslims, who are, you know, who pray and so on and so forth, they are not evil people. They are not, you know, people who are shayateen in human form. They are good people. But where we trip up and where we axe our own feet is in the matter of likes and dislikes, in the matter of hawa, in the matter of personal desires. Now, this is where the whole evil comes in, and this is where the whole problem comes. And I think that is something to remind ourselves and to stay far away from, and say that desire, personal desire, does not constitute right and bright by itself. Just because it feels nice, it doesn't make it nice. Remember, some of the most heinous crimes, some of the most despicable crimes, and we have seen a few of them right now in our country as I speak, they were committed by people who felt nice doing it. So sometimes you hear this thing saying, oh, okay, it's okay, you know, as long as you feel nice. What kind of nonsense is that? I mean, as long as you are happy, what kind of nonsense is that? A rapist is happy raping somebody. So is that okay? A drunkard is happy getting drunk and lying in his own vomit in the gutter. A druggie is happy taking drugs. I mean, how does that make something good? I mean, just because you say, oh, you know, after all, you are happy. Happiness is not a indicator, it's not a criterion to judge the right from wrong, to define what is right and what is wrong. It's nothing to do with happiness. Right is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed as right, and wrong is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed as wrong. And if you look at it in Islam, if you look at it critically, you will find that everything which is right is that which is good for the individual as well as good for society. And that which is wrong, which Allah has prohibited in this deen, is bad intrinsically and in itself for the individual, and it is bad for all of society. Now, what objection can anyone have to do things which are good for everyone and not do things which are bad for everyone? This is what Islam is. And Ramadan Al-Kareem comes to teach us this lesson and says, stop arguing and stop trying to be smart and clever. Listen to what you have been told by the one who knows, by the one who cannot make mistakes, by the one who cannot be misguided or misunderstand the situation. He is telling you something which is good for you, because for him it makes no difference. But he's saying it to you because he loves you, because he doesn't want you to fall into trouble, because he doesn't want you to fall into pain and suffering. So create for yourself a society which will be good for everyone. Today people ask this question. They say, oh God is so cruel. Oh, why did God allow this to happen? And why did God allow that to happen? Please understand, God did not allow anything to happen. You allowed it to happen. God sent you, and God sent a template of how to act, of what to do, of what constitutes justice and what constitutes injustice. He gave it to you, and he gave you the power and authority to implement that in your lives. You did not do that. You ignored it. You threw away the charter. You threw away the criterion. You allowed people to live by their base desires. You called that living by base desires your right to do so. And then when the pain comes with it, when the effect of this living by base desires comes to the fore, you want to blame God. And you say that God is unjust and God is cruel and God is this and that. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind and merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did everything that is required to be done in order for us human beings to live a life that is beautiful, that is just, that is compassionate, that is full of kindness and concern for one another, that is peaceful and harmonious. Now, if we choose not to live our life like that, then who do we want to blame? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is to give you an example. This is like sitting in a car which is beautifully constructed, absolutely superior engineering, safe as houses. But if you want to go and crash that car into a wall, believe me, you will die. And that is not the fault of the car. It is not the fault of the engineers who built the car. It is your fault because you chose not to use the car and all its safety factors. Instead of that, you drove it into a wall or you drove it off a cliff. Now, whose fault is that? That is what we are doing. Today, we are driving our cars into walls and over cliffs. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to teach us that this is a stupid way to live. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to teach us to live intelligently, to live thoughtfully, to live like people with brains and use those brains. And what do we do that? What is the first fundamental of that? What is the first fundamental of understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us? It is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, over and above anyone and anything else. That obedience, that way of living life according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is called the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So to obey Allah is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the result of that? Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. And if you do that, if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you emulate and imitate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and he will forgive your sins, and he is most forgiving and most merciful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness and his mercy, especially in this month. Make lots of dua, make lot of istighfar, and make tawbah and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you to do that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.